Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus said, "People love darkness rather than light. Light exposes our deeds, but it also illuminates the pathway ahead. In days of darkness and uncertainty, we need the light Jesus brings now more than ever. Stay with us." From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a four-part series on the gifts Jesus brought to us so long ago. We're learning about gift number one, Jesus, the gift of light. The light we need for many reasons.
So light is also needed for guidance. Light is also needed to understand ourselves, to understand who we are. It was Goethe, and by the way, that German Enlightenment philosopher, don't pronounce his name Goethe, okay? He wouldn't recognize that. Learn a little bit of German, which will put you in some good stead when you get to heaven. And it's actually pronounced Goethe. But he said this, "Only God knows who I really am, and may he preserve me from finding out." And that's really true. You see, the fact is that you and I love darkness. We are born into darkness, and we love it. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 3. He said this, "And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out by God." Wow. You and I are darkness junkies. We're born that way. We prefer the darkness. And we prefer the darkness. We don't want to come to the light for a number of reasons. First of all, because of shame. I'm thinking, for example, of the woman in a primitive country who took her bundle of dirty clothes to the river, but because there were other women there washing their clothes as well, she did not undo the bundle. She simply took it as a bundle and put it in the water and then brought it up. And after doing that a few times, she went home. That's the way in which we are. We don't want to even expose our sins to God because we have rationalized them. We have told ourselves lies, and we have repeated those lies long enough so that we are committed to the darkness. And the Bible exposes us, doesn't it? Another reason is because of fear. We think to ourselves, and don't all of us think this? That if people really knew who we were, if they really understood our thoughts, if they really understood our motivations, if they understood the privacy of our own hearts and what we are doing, they would reject us. They would be shocked because of all of the evil that is really latent within us, even if we don't live it out. And so we don't want to know who we are. And the Bible comes along and exposes us. And the scripture teaches us this, that there is enough darkness in this culture that if you want to live in darkness, you can. You'll not only have lots of company, but you'll be able to remain hidden in that realm of darkness with all of its delusions. You know, it was Luther who said that the problem with a common man who doesn't know God is that he is blind, he is sick, and he is dead, actually dead, not just sick. But the problem is that he thinks he can see and he believes himself to be alive. What a delusion there is when you walk in darkness, the hidden life, unwilling to come to the light. So light actually shows us who we are, but light also shows God for whom he is. Because God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all, none at all. And the Bible says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Walking in the light means that I expose myself to God, Everything that he reveals to me that is sinful, I confess it to God. I own my stuff. I admit it to him. He is the one who forgives me and cleanses me so that I can walk with God, because God is light. The only way we can walk with him is if we walk in light. And because of our sinfulness, we constantly need the cleansing that comes to those who want to walk with God. And in order to see God, we must be willing to come to the light. You remember that famous story in the book of Isaiah? Isaiah gave 6 woes to the people around him. He said, woe to the drunkards, woe to those who exploit the poor, woe, woe, woe. But when he gets to chapter 6, the 7th woe is me. Because in the presence of God, finally, all pretense ends. In the presence of God, finally, we see our hidden sin. In the presence of God, we see now who we are. And it is there that we receive the knowledge of who we are, but also the cleansing that enables us to go on. You remember Job, who was arguing with God and asking all of those philosophical questions. And then God came along and asked questions of his own. And finally, Job said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye sees thee. Therefore, I repent in dust and in ashes. As a matter of fact, it's not possible for us to know who we are unless we understand who God is. Calvin, the great theologian, said in the first sentence of his Institutes that there are 2 questions that are paramount, and one is the knowledge of God and the knowledge of self, and it is clear that you can't have one without the other. If you've never come to God, if you've never been exposed to the Scriptures, you cannot have a knowledge of who you really are, because we walk in darkness. Now, there's another necessity of light, and that is light enables us to follow Christ. You'll notice what he says here, and I'm back in chapter 8, where it says in verse 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You follow me. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, that remarkable statement, ye are the light of the world. That's why if you come to our Christmas Eve service, you will find that we all have candles, and we begin with one candle, and then one lights another, and pretty soon all throughout the sanctuary here, we have candles that are lit, reminding us that Jesus is the light of the world, but you and I also spread his light in so many different ways and with so many different opportunities. We live out Jesus to this world. When we are willing to participate in Angel Tree, when we are willing to be able to go to the school that is near us where we've had a ministry this past fall, when we do those kinds of things, we are representing Jesus in the world. Remember that statue in the Kaiser Wilhelm Church in Berlin, the statue of Jesus, which was largely destroyed during World War II. And when they were putting it together, they couldn't find the arm. And they decided to have it there, and it is there today without one of the arms. Why? Because they said, Jesus Christ is thus represented. We are his arm, and we are his representatives to the world. So Jesus said that as we walk in light, we represent him as well. Now, how can we nail this down for ourselves so that our lives are changed and transformed? What about those of you who perhaps do not know God? You think you do because you know about Jesus or because you've had a religious background, but you have never really come to Christ. Let me leave 2 transforming lessons with you. The first one is simply this, that let us keep in mind that the light that reveals us is also the light that heals us. The light that reveals us is the light that heals us. Now, I began this message by telling you that there was a time when we did not have electricity on our farm. But I remember in November of 1962, I remember when those great power posts came across the field and brought us electricity. You say, well, how come you remember November? I think it was November the 11th which has other meanings, I think, in our history, but I think that was the day when the power finally came on. It was unbelievable. We could go through this old house, the old farmhouse, and we could flip a switch. No more lamps, no more lanterns. One of the things that we had right in the middle of the farm was a lamp light. It was a light that lit the path, floodlight really, on a post that lit the path between the house and the barn. And what we used to do as kids is we would run toward the light and then we'd run far from it, and we noticed that the farther we ran, the more shadow we had, the longer the shadow became, the farther we ran. But when we got close to the lamp, our shadow became smaller and smaller and smaller under the yard light. And then what we do is stand directly under and see whether or not we could actually have no shadow at all. Now, we couldn't have none at all because there would still be a bit of a shadow, but it would be very small and very insignificant. You see, folks, the further we get from Christ, the longer the shadows, the darkness. Remember this, we are only as sick as our darkest secrets. And that part of us that we deny, that part of us that we justify, that part of us that we don't deal with, that sense of guilt and self-incrimination that we feel because we know that we have sinned and we have alienated ourselves from God, that part of us needs to be brought to the light so that in openness and humility, as we come to Jesus Christ, we then begin to walk in the light that he came to bring us. Remember the words of Jesus, "Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil." Yes, that certainly is true, that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And the darkness here in the United States is increasing. That's why I wrote the book entitled The Church in Babylon, Heeding the Call to Be a Light in the Darkness. I believe that God has put before us many different challenges. This is a different world than when I became pastor of Moody Church back in 1980. We have seen the bitter fruit of the sexual revolution. So I deal with that in my new book. We have seen also the effects of technology, the negative effects of technology. And then the anti-Christian bias. You know, it used to be that we as Christians always had home field advantage. Oh, there were people in the crowd who were against us. But today, all of our games are away games. In other words, we're always in enemy territory, and people are in the stands shouting at us. Some are cursing at us. Some are telling us that our light is indeed darkness. And the question is, how do we remain faithful in the midst of a world that has changed so drastically just in the last couple of decades? The title of the book is The Church in Babylon, Heeding the Call to Be a Light in the Darkness.
Mark Bailey from Dallas Seminary says, "In The Church in Babylon, Erwin Lutzer provides a clarion call for the church to make a mid-course correction in the contrary culture of the 21st century, resetting the sails for the church to survive and thrive." The Church in Babylon book can be yours as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.